Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Lori Fatchett McGee, and it is my privilege to serve as worship associate for today's service. I am joined today by Commissioned Lay Minister candidate Karen Carnahan, who is leading our service. Karen is a member of the Ginger Hill Unitarian Universalist Church in Slippery Rock, Pennsylvania. Karen and I are also joined by Religious Education Coordinator Colleen Taley and Music Director Hal Walker.
This is the mission of our faith, to teach the fragile art of hospitality, to revere both the critical mind and the generous heart, to prove that diversity need not mean divisiveness, and to witness to all that we must hold the whole world in our hands.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it and to institute a new government, laying its foundation on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety and happiness. Prudence indeed will dictate that governments long established should not be changed for light and transient causes. And accordingly, all experience has shown that mankind are more disposed to suffer while evils are sufferable than to right themselves by abolishing the forms to which they are accustomed. But when a long train of abuses and usurpations, pursuing invariably the same object, evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism, it is their right, it is their duty to throw off such government and to provide new guards for their future security. American history quiz, where is that from? The Declaration of Independence. Come, let us worship together.
There is a life force within your soul. There is a gem in the mountain of your body. If you seek, look not outside, look within. Why do you go to the forest in search of the divine? God lives in all and abides with you too. As fragrance dwells in a flower or reflection in a mirror, so the divine dwells inside everything. Seek, therefore, in your own heart.
Who is the prophet in these urgent times? You are the prophet, for there may be no other who will speak and act now. The prophet hears and responds to an insistent and urgent inner voice. The prophet speaks from an internal fountain, giving voice to another's silence. The prophet sees and expresses in uncommon ways upsetting the status quo. The prophet sends the wake-up call in the present to shape the future. How do I develop a prophetic voice in these challenging times? Observe nature and grow all parts of the tree, branches, trunk, and roots. Branches are the many outspreading ways of acting on inner call. Stay connected to the trunk, for fallen limbs are swept away by water or fire. Be willing to pare away when too many branches grow. Let leaves drop in their time, for the cycle will turn around. Grow and let go to flourish, trusting other seasons will come. The trunk is steady with circles of community, rings of support widening with age. Witness strong branches supported by many layers. Observe that when limbs are damaged, the trunk perseveres. See small trunks grow light shoots, wisely testing support. Believe that a trunk will mature over time, sending nourishment upward. Roots are the grounding of the whole tree, the foundation for transformation. Plant wisely in rich earth for sustenance. Gather nutrients from a distance in unseen waters. Sustain the roots through underground connection and keep the trunk standing. Weather many seasons, drawing on multiple sources for food. How will we hear the prophets in our complex era? Follow the still small voice, even when unpopular. Offer inner knowing to the outer landscape. Bear clear witness to the claims of many sacred traditions. Cultivate strength and compassion. Develop wisdom that is tenacious and flexible when needed. Watch, wait, and choose the strategic moment. Disrupt or challenge when there is a clarity of vision. Send a startling message through crafted purpose. Say what is not welcome at the right time. Speak boldly about what the majority wants to ignore. Practice faithfulness, foresee consequences, make history. Offer gratitude, for in oneness with other trees, a forest grows.
Each of us inevitable.
each of us inevitable.
Good morning. I think I can safely say that I am not the only person in America who feels as though the 11 months since the 2016 presidential election have been an exercise in shock and awe. Shock that we as fellow citizens could treat each other with such animosity, and awe in that it didn't seem to take that much time to bring out the worst in humanity. It was then that I began to grieve for a time that seemed lost, a time when we as a society at least tried to acknowledge the inherent worth and dignity of every person. In the first few weeks following the election, I noticed that my sense of grief was shared by my friends who identified as religious liberals. The irony was that we were experiencing some of the classic stages of grieving. We were shocked. We were in denial. We felt depressed. Suddenly, I felt self-conscious and vulnerable while out in public. Routine stops at the post office and grocery store became uncomfortable. I felt a low-lying and probably irrational fear of being targeted by those whose hatred had been given not only a voice, but a megaphone. And then one day, soon after, I fast-tracked to the anger phase. I reached for a book I had bought months before but hadn't yet read, called Reclaiming Prophetic Witness, Liberal Religion in the Public Square. Does anybody know this book? Written by Unitarian Universalist minister Dr. Paul Razor, it was chosen to be the UUA's common read for the church year 2014-2015, and for good reason. In recent years, the dominant religious voice in what Razor calls the public square has been that of conservative Christianity. Razor's premise is that religious liberals, and in particular Unitarian Universalists, have a long history of speaking out for social issues, but have receded into the background in recent years. He points out the reasons why it happened, why we need to find the voice again, and how to do just that. Now, I was skeptical when I first started reading Reclaiming Prophetic Witness. There were two reasons for this. First, speaking out in the public square is something I'd never done before, and was very happy to leave that piece of UU life to those who found it spiritually uplifting. Secondly, the term prophetic caused my post-mainstream Christian hackles to rise. Not very mature, nor spiritually evolved, I'll admit, but what can I say? I'm a work in progress. The truth is, I was motivated by the Women's March on Washington to be held on January 22nd. I had decided to attend, not to march for a particular social issue, but, as UUs do, to stand on the side of love. I felt called to represent my UU values, but I wasn't sure how to do it. It has been said that when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. Paul Razor's book was the very guidance I needed. Now, the first step for me was to make peace with this troublesome word, prophetic. UU theologian James Luther Adams provided a clear definition, and I quote, "Unitarian Universalist prophets are those who think and work together to interpret the signs of the times in light of their faith, discuss issues, and act in light of their faith to make explicit through discussion the epical thinking that the times demand. All members share the common responsibility to foresee the consequences of human behavior, both individual and institutional, with the intention of making history in place of merely being pushed around by it." The simple words of Rebecca Parker drove the point home. And she says, prophetic witness is our capacity to see what is happening, to say what is happening, and act in accordance with what we know. Doesn't get any simpler than that. Now, reclaiming prophetic witness answered another crucial question for me. Why is engaging in social justice work so important to Unitarian Universalists? Why do we UUs, as a collective of individuals with our tendency toward a multitude of opinions and lengthy discussions at coffee hour, feel compelled to unite to give voice to societal injustice? It is because we have what Paul Raiser calls a theological imperative to engage in this work. Our movement's covenant, which embodies the seven principles, set forth our commitment to justice, equity, and compassion for all existence. But even with so clear a mandate, we tend to struggle with using faith-based arguments in our justice advocacy. Raiser suggests that we don't want to seem too religious. He writes, over the past quarter century, the most visible and vocal religious groups in the U.S. have been those of the religious right. Many of these groups aggressively link conservative or fundamentalist theologies to conservative political agendas that liberals rightly perceive as creating threats to basic liberties, including religious liberty. Religious liberals can all too easily buy into that widespread but erroneous assumption that if you are religious, you must be conservative. Religious liberals understandably want to avoid being perceived as conservative, so they keep quiet about their faith. Our UDU tradition makes a very clear institutional distinction between religion and politics. Some people think that this tradition requires not only the institutional separation of church and state, but also a kind of intellectual separation of religious ideas and political deliberation. I would argue that while this is difficult for religious liberals in general, it is even more complicated for Unitarian Universalists. We have no creed, nor dogma to refer to. We have seven guiding principles, which are intentionally secular and serve as a code of ethics rather than a statement of religious beliefs. Our diverse spiritual past and present is acknowledged in the sources. In working to find my own prophetic voice, I find myself running into what I call the first principle problem. When attempting to engage in faith-based advocacy, I have been unable to get past the inherent worth and dignity of every person to all of the other principles that plainly state our commitment to justice, equality, and the right of everyone, including myself, to have a voice that is heard with respect. In other words, I feel that I can't share my truth because I might step on the rights of others to share theirs. I must be accepting of the beliefs of others, no matter how different from mine, because we have a shared humanity, and I need to separate the idea from the person who is inherently good. Sadly, the events of the last few months have solved my first principle problem. On August 12th, a rally to unite the right, consisting of white supremacists and other conservative groups in Charlottesville, turned violent. Protesters and counter-protesters clashed. One person was killed, and at least 15 others were injured. And then less than 2 months later, our country's unconscionable lack of responsible gun control allowed one person to purchase and easily transport 10 suitcases full of firearms into a Las Vegas hotel where he carried out a premeditated attack that killed 58 people and injured 546 others. Unanswered questions linger in the air. Can the anger and hatred inside a person outweigh their inherent worth and dignity? How can we as Unitarian Universalists stand up to it? As people of faith, can we make a difference? You may have noticed that there has been no mention of political parties, no mention of politicians, either as candidates or elected officials, nor any mention of public policy. Engaging in prophetic witness in the public conversation as a person of faith is very different from engaging in political debate. In Reclaiming Prophetic Witness, Paul Raiser emphasizes the four critical elements that prophetic witness should contain: a religiously grounded critique of social injustice, an active engagement in the real world. It must be grounded in religious values, independent of cultural norms, so that it has clear reference points for forming judgments. And finally, and at the same time, its theological reference points cannot be so foreign that its critique becomes incomprehensible. Armed with this information, how do we ultimately find our prophetic religious voice? By getting out in the world and using it. From what I gathered from your website and in talking with Lori here, it sounds like your social action team is energized and very active in community justice work. Lori mentioned that you recently passed a resolution to become a sanctuary church in Kent. That's wonderful work. If you all are interested in learning more about prophetic witness, I encourage you to read Reclaiming Prophetic Witness as a group, a leader's guide that is full of deep, thought-provoking discussion questions is available on the UUA website. On that cold January day in Washington, D.C., I felt my inner phoenix stir. From the ashes of grief, I was transported to the final stages of the grieving process, acceptance and hope. The spirits of compassion and peace were clearly present within that enormous crowd. Regardless of the march's social issue-based theme, the majority stood with me on the side of love. From the advice I gained from Reclaiming Prophetic Witness and the experience of the Women's March, I finally understood. The answer to my question of how to give voice to justice through my UU faith was this: find your voice, speak your truth, and lead with your heart. Let your Unitarian Universalist faith carry the day. The Reverend Joseph M. Cherry says it best. If we have any hope of transforming the world and changing ourselves, we must be bold enough to step into our discomfort, brave enough to be clumsy there, and loving enough to forgive ourselves and others. May we, as a people of faith, be granted the strength to be so bold, so brave, and so loving. Blessed be, and may it be so. May you go from this place knowing that you are good and knowing that you are loved. May you re-enter the world knowing that you are blessed, so you may be a blessing to others. Namaste.